This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. I feel truly blessed to be able to interview so many amazing people that have messages that help, of course, elevate our soul and help us move through the shifts that we go through in life, right? And there's so much happening right now, not to mention the stimulus that we get on a regular basis just from, you know, phones and internet and that instant gratification process. Well, my guest today, Colleen Morrow, I'm sure felt equally as blessed as I do to connect with the people that she connected with for so many years as the founder and chief, editor-in-chief of Intuition Magazine, which she launched in 1988. Intuition explored the higher potential of the mind and, intuition, inspiration, and telepathy, which happens to be part of the title of her book, Spiritual Telepathy. Spiritual Telepathy provides readers with a step-by-step method for contacting the soul and accessing that universal wellspring of inspiration and knowledge. So without further gab, I welcome you to Soulful Living, Colleen.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, it must have been really exciting to be the founder and to work so deeply with Intuition Magazine. Let's talk about how you got started on that path.
Okay. I had always been interested in the spiritual world and intuitive studies. Excuse me. And in the late 80s, I was living in San Francisco. And at that point, I had worked for several alternative magazines. And I suddenly found myself without a job, and I was trying to figure out what to do. Excuse me. I had already worked for all the magazines I liked, so I was a little bit stumped about what my next step would be. And I spent my days talking to editors, looking for new magazines, and worrying about my rapidly dwindling bank account. And one morning I woke up and I decided that I needed to give myself a mental health day, that I would go out and plant some bulbs in my backyard and spend one 24-hour period not thinking about the fact that I was unemployed. And it was October, which is my favorite month in San Francisco. So I was very much enjoying the day, just puttering around in my garden, when I had a type of intuitive experience that I've never had before. A thought suddenly flashed through my mind, and the thought was the Center for Applied Intuition. And I had always accessed intuition through feelings or some sort of body-based sensation, mm-hmm. but this was different. This was a purely mental experience. The word seemed to have been dropped right into my brain, and I knew it wasn't my thought, and it certainly made no logical sense. I knew about the center, and I had met Bill Kautz, the founder, but I couldn't imagine why I would go there to look for a magazine job. I knew that he had a two-room office, and he set up intuition trainings and so on. I mean, there was no logical reason.
No magazine.
That's right. No logical reason that I would go there.
Right.
So I thought about it for a few days, and I thought, well, what the heck? What have I got to lose? This was a very profound kind of experience because it literally stopped me in my tracks. I knew it wasn't my thought. So I called him up, and I asked him to send me information about the center's activities. And a few days later, I got a big envelope, and when I dumped it out, I found several brochures, and one very simple typewritten journal called Applied Psi. And this was a journal that he sent out to the center's 200 members, and it was about the subjects of intuition and creativity. Mm-hmm. So I sat down at my kitchen table, and I started to read it, and I just got very engrossed, and I read it from cover to cover, and I thought, wow, this could be a real magazine. This is fascinating, and I'm sure these subjects would interest people far beyond this small membership. So I called him up, made an appointment to talk to him, went over and told him about my idea, and he just lit up and said that he had always dreamed of turning it into a real magazine, but the right person had never come along. I went home, and I created a proposal and went back, and I suddenly found myself launching a new magazine.
Wow.
We called it Intuition, a magazine for the higher potential of the mind. And I got two issues out before Bill decided to close the center, and at that point, he signed the rights over to me, and I later got a grant and set up an office and hired a staff. And when I think about it now, there's several interesting things about the story. One, I never would have gotten there through rational process. You know, it would mm-hmm. never have occurred to me to talk to him when I was looking for a magazine job. I ended up getting something better than what I was looking for. And I also couldn't have seen that in the next decade there would be a flood of information on this subject, and the magazine provided a focal point. So it was some sort of guidance from the soul that came directly into my brain, and I acted on it, and it just unfolded in ways I could have never imagined. And I ran the magazine until the year 2000, and at that point I started to study the Age's Wisdom teachings, and I was immediately intrigued by the subject of spiritual telepathy. And I realized that this was the kind of the next step. It was a more advanced type of spiritual perception. And it just made sense that this was the logical next step, that we had created the foundation for this in the 90s with the intuition work, mm-hmm. but that this was something higher. And spiritual telepathy can be defined as communication from the subtle worlds, from our souls or from even higher levels. And when we get communication from these levels, it's always telepathic. We usually don't audibly hear the words. They're just dropped into our brains where they're formulated into thought. And so the book is all about how we create this bridge between our human selves and the soul so we can access this information at will. We know that it can happen spontaneously, like it happened for me in the garden, mm-hmm. but it's also possible to be able to access this information whenever we want.
Well, and I'm sure the listeners, many of them have experienced those moments of having that intuitive hit that kind of stops you on the dime. And you mentioned two things that I would like, kind of like your take on it. First of all, what is your take on what the soul is? And secondly, what is your definition of telepathy? And how do we begin recognizing more moments of that?
Well, I see the soul as the repository of all of our many lifetimes of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul really is the highest and most reliable source of direction and guidance that we have. The soul knows our higher purpose. And our personal intuition will give us guidance about our relationships, our work, and other aspects of our day-to-day lives. I think about it as horizontal perception. Is our perception extends out into the physical world and gives us information beyond the rational mind. But this is something higher. This is when we can actually train the mind to access the subtle worlds. And it really is a higher and more reliable source of direction and guidance. And in telepathy, it's communication, nonverbal communication. And in the wisdom teachings, they say that there's three types of telepathy. And the lowest is instinctual or feeling-based telepathy. This is our gut feeling. And it's active, most active, with the people that we're closest to. Mm-hmm. So we just know if a loved one is in trouble, or if a loved one needs us, or if a loved one dies. There's so many really amazing stories about that. The second is mental or mind-to-mind telepathy. And then the highest is spiritual or soul-to-soul telepathy. And what I like about this teaching is it illustrates the progression of our perceptual abilities from the instinct of the caveman to the rational knowledge of our current evolution to the pure intuitive knowing of the future. And I think we're right on that doorway now where we can take that step to this higher level of knowing and accessing information.
Well, and I think with the advent of the internet, you know, that more and more information is accessible to us to be able to learn how to access our soul and really step into incorporating that spiritual telepathy into our lives on a regular basis. Again, listeners, I'm talking with Colleen Morrow. You'll find all of her information on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. Her website is spiritualtelepathy.net, and I encourage you to visit it and visit her site, see everything that she has to offer, and let's get back into the book. So the book is basically, I would say, a step-by-step guide, in complete with stories and examples of how people can use some of the teachings in their own life, how they can incorporate it into their own lives. And you talk about in one chapter how, I think the title was Refining Your Physical, Emotional, and Mental Bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Sure. I'm glad you asked that question because it's really important. This is a really important preliminary step. To create a direct line of communication between the soul and the brain, we have to purify the body and quiet the mind and emotions. If we have an illness, excuse me, if we're tired, or especially if we have mental or emotional static, it's hard for the brain to register the higher wisdom and ideas. It literally repels the subtle currents of thought. And what I've discovered in researching this is that refinement practices are a part of all of our spiritual traditions. And even though the methods vary from tradition to tradition, the requirements and goals are exactly the same. It's purity of body, control of the emotions, and stability of mind. And in the book, I included the refinement practices that have helped me the most. This was a big issue for me, mm-hmm. because when I got really serious about really quieting myself down to meditate more and more deeply, I discovered that I was walking around with a huge amount of resentment and anger. Mm-hmm. And I had done quite a bit of therapeutic work in my earlier life. And this is something that many people have to deal with. And Jack Kornfield has talked about this a lot. He said that when he first started to teach meditation, he discovered that at least half of his students were unable to master even the basic concentration exercises for the exact same reason, because they had so much emotional trash mm-hmm. that would come bubbling up. The more quiet we are, the more we get in touch with this.
And we sure do.
Yeah.
Resentment, anger, forgiveness, 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 forgiveness.
That's right. In fact, I struggled with this so much that I decided to get some help. And I worked with this wonderful spiritual healer named Stephen Lumiere. And he gave me three meditations to do every day. That was his prescription for me. One was on forgiveness, like you just said, uh-huh. that's really the key. One was on compassion, and one was on loving kindness. And so I did these day after day after day. And I started to quiet down. I got to the point where I was more forgiving, and I was able to forgive, you know, some things that were really, really old. And as I did this, I quieted down more and more. And that's when I really got in touch with this deeper sense of the soul.
It's interesting that that we talk about that forgiveness. I've been working with a client for a while, and that was one of the key things that I had mentioned to him was, you know, your success in healing is your own forgiveness, including forgiving yourselves. And a lot of times we don't give we don't give forgiveness, compassion, and loving kindness to ourselves. And I felt like it was really key for him to move forward in his own healing process. So I thank you for, you know, expanding upon that thought, you know, and you talked about refinement. I think of refinement kind of like part of the evolutionary process is that for us to evolve, we need to refine aspects of our lives. And that's not a negative by any means.
That's right. When we do this, we really raise our vibration, and it more easily matches the vibration of the higher worlds. Stephen Lumiere gave me a forgiveness meditation that was the best that I've ever come across, and I put it in my book. And it's about standing in somebody else's shoes. When it's a meditation where you imagine that you're standing in someone's shoes and looking out at the world through their eyes. And then you start to understand why they act the way they do, mm-hmm. and that basically they're doing the only thing they can do. And it really helped me, because I realized that if I had the exact same circumstances, I probably would act the same way as the person I need to forgive. Mm-hmm. And that was a very powerful meditation, and so I put that in.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Thich Nhat Hanh also talks about that a lot, and one of his teachers, of course, was... I know that Jack Kornfield has gotten information and done some work from, a little distracted there, sorry, from Thich Nhat Hanh. So you also talk about the Rainbow Bridge, you know, mm-hmm. okay, so as a pet owner and all over Facebook, I see the Rainbow Bridge as opposed to your pets, you know, in relation to your pets. That's not exactly what you're talking about. So tell me about the Rainbow Bridge.
It's interesting, isn't it, that it crops up in all these different ways?
Yes.
It's part of the Aegis Wisdom tradition. Hmm. And what it is the bridge that we build from the personality to the soul. So specifically, it's from the brain to the soul, so we can have that connection between the soul, the mind, and the brain. And when we do this type of mind training, the mind actually becomes a conduit that allows information to extend from the soul to the brain. And we do this through the daily practice of creative meditation, sometimes called Raja Yoga meditation. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond the meditation practices that focus only on quieting the mind. In this type of meditation, we actually go a step further, and we train our minds to transmit information directly from the soul to the brain. And again, the information has to reach the brain to become part of our conscious awareness. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's this sort of nebulous thing that we kind of grasp but really don't. It really has to hit the brain in the same way it did for me in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of think about the way our homes are wired for telephone and internet connection. This type of meditation allows us to create the threads and cables that link us to the higher worlds. And we do this by projecting our attention upward to the soul day after day. We visualize the soul as a star about 6 inches above our heads. And when we do this, we anchor small threads of energy that eventually, thread by thread, form a symbolic bridge between the mind, the brain, and the soul. It's called the Rainbow Bridge or the Bridge of Light in the mm-hmm. wisdom teachings. I found it everywhere. It's called the Antahkarana in the Hindu text, and it's even in the Bible. Jesus calls it the straight or narrow gate in the New Testament. So it's something you can find across all cultures and all spiritual traditions, this idea that there's a bridge that has to be built between the physical world and the spiritual world. And I see it as an evolutionary step where mm-hmm. we start to extend our consciousness beyond the physical world and include this whole higher new world. And when we do this, we really become pioneers like Magellan or Christopher Columbus. We're not really mapping the outer reaches of the physical world. We're moving into an entirely new world for the human being and creating a roadmap that other people can follow. Each of us that do this make it easier for those who follow.
Well, and I look at that as what your work is all about, your book is all about. You know, spiritual telepathy is kind of giving people access to the wisdom that helps them create those maps, not just for themselves, but eventually they may choose to share those with others as you have. It must have been amazing to incorporate the wisdom of the many people that you included in your magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that a lot of their wisdom was beneficial in helping you get to this place with spiritual telepathy. Were there any that really stood out to you the most in the magazine that you've incorporated into your work today?
Well, I thought it was very interesting that there's so much being published on the scientific aspect of this with mm-hmm. Dean Radin and Lynn McTaggart and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the magazine, and they're sort of what I consider sort of the cutting edge of the science world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I decided to write this book, I thought very carefully about how I should present this material, because the source material is esoteric, and I wanted it to be read by a group much, much wider than those that are already reading esoteric books.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about how I could best do this. And one of the ways was to show that it's a universal teaching that lies at the heart of all of our spiritual traditions. So I brought all that in to show that it's the same teaching in all the different traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought the science in, too. So I was glad to have known about these people and have interviewed them in the past because I was familiar with their work. So I tied a lot of things together, and it took many years to actually do all this research. But I was really propelled by this feeling that it was important, and that it really was the next step. And I think this will be the next wave that's coming, in the same way that the intuition work kind of started as a trickle and then it became a flood, you know, in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that things tend to move in cycles like that. And this is the next higher piece for us.
Well, as a shamanic practitioner, I generally will say, you know, that shamanic wisdom has been around for ages.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like there's some similarities in that thought process, but you have definitely done much more in-depth research on that than I have. And what would you say the correlations are between shamanic wisdom and intuitive, and even psychic mediums?
Well, I think that's a great, great question to ask. And for me, I've always been very touched when I read about people who have the ability to communicate with the higher worlds, like Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm.
We know that she talked to saints and angels. I love the story about Eileen Caddy and the foundation of Findhorn. She got direct guidance that led step by step to the creation of that community in those wonderful gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the story about George Washington Carver, the botanist who talked in the woods each morning to talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought a lot about the shamans who can connect with the higher worlds. And I think, why do only some people have the ability to do that? Are they special? Are they, you know, is it preordained somehow that they would have these abilities that the rest of us don't? And what I realized when I studied this topic is that they're not special. It's something that any of us can do. It just takes a mind training.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of the evolutionary process to have this access to this higher world, and that it will happen to all of us over time, but that it's possible to speed it up, to do this kind of mind training. And when we do this, we're really creating a situation where we're like intermediaries between the physical and spiritual worlds, that we can bring down so much wisdom and knowledge for our own lives and for our service for others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think mediums do this too. They're sort of one of our areas of conduit to the higher worlds. But I think when we do this mind training, that type of perception, any kind of channeling or mediumship, really becomes obsolete, because we don't need the middleman. We can do it ourselves. We don't need somebody to channel the information. We can go there ourselves. And when we do train our minds become like our own individual Google. You know, it can extend out into the cosmos, gather information, and then download that information directly into our brains. So we become our own mediums.
Well, I'm actually very glad that you said that. Happy to hear that you said that. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and, you know, she talked about the her gifts, and, you know, that she was, I'm thinking of a politically correct way to say this, you know, that these were her gifts given to her, you know. I'm like a miracle worker, and I, in my mind, was trying to come up with a way to graciously say to her, I believe everybody has these gifts, mm-hmm. you know, that it is about training the mind and being open to accessing that wisdom instead of being afraid of it. You know, I think of myself as a recovering Catholic, where we were, you know, taught that it's a sin to show up in the world that way, and that, you know, you need to be punished for all of those things. I go back to self-forgiveness, self-compassion, loving kindness. Those are the gifts that we need to give ourselves, and that we can evolve into those beings. So I absolutely love that you said anybody can access that. And of course, your work in spiritual telepathy is an amazing tool to help them get to that point. You know,
exactly.
To help them be open. You've got so much, so much wonderful information in there for them. Well, we're getting down to the wire here. I think we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to remind the listeners that I've been chatting with Colleen Morrow. You can find all of Colleen's information here at Empower Radio on the Soulful Living page. We'll have links to her website and her work, her book. You can grab off of Amazon, and her website, of course. And Colleen, of course, I give you a deep bow of gratitude for joining me here today and sharing just a tip of the iceberg in the information that you have available for the listeners. I love for my guests to leave the listeners with a thought that they could take out into the day and elevate their soul, empower their lives. What would that thought be for you?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about what the effect this work had on me. The daily meditation includes asking that soul light pour down over our lower bodies to calm our minds and emotions and to invigorate the physical body.
Mm.
And what I discovered that as I did this day after day after day, there was really a very interesting, subtle energetic shift. I think it raises our vibration, this contact with the soul, and speeds up our evolution. Because I noticed that I really started to change in very fundamental ways. I started to look at things from a higher perspective, and I became much more tolerant and less judgmental. My heart started to open, and so it's really had a huge and profound effect on my life.
Mm. Well, thank you for sharing that, and I know that I'm going to find that meditation and practice it myself. It sounds like it had a tremendous effect on your life.
Sure did. It really did.
You know, I practice every day. The first thought, you know, is gratitude and thankful for all that is in the universe. And I do practice a light meditation myself, but nothing that sounds as profound and deeply effective as this particular meditation. Is that the one by Stephen Lemire?
Well, there's 12 meditations in the book and 2 additional practices.
Uh-huh.
I really wanted this to be very step-by-step and how-to. There's actually the ones that I learned from Stephen are really the preliminary meditations to kind of quiet yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's 3 successive mind training meditations in chapter 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones that I mentioned when I said it really changed my life, because that's when we pull down the soul energy. to the physical body, and that really has a surprising effect as we do it day by day by day.
All right, listeners, well, make sure you grab the book and check out Chapter 7 as well as, you know, the rest of the book. But it sounds like getting started with the soul light meditation might be a great way to start. Okay, well, thank you so much, Colleen, for joining me here today. And I look forward to doing this again.
Great. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.